Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The First Team. First time ever that you and I are recording next to each other. Not exactly the best setup. We're recording from the Airbnb that is down the road from Lucas Oil Stadium here at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. And we're going to be recapping day one of the drills that happened in the stadium, talking about all the top performers for the defensive tackles, the edge rushers, and the linebackers. Starting us off, Ryan, with the defensive tackle group, two guys that had unbelievable performances. The one that we have to bring up first is Braden Fisk, the interior rusher from Florida State, formerly of Western Michigan, ends up running a 4.78 in the 40. And he was one of these guys that just throughout the process, Senior Bowl was kicking butt, wasn't super clean during the Senior Bowl, but busted his ass, showed a ton of, you know, high effort plays, but ends up running a 4.78, ends up having a 33.5-inch vertical, and then a 9-foot, 9-inch broad. All of those are amongst the top of the interior defensive linemen. I think for me, when you look at this guy on film, it didn't really flash to me that this was a crazy, crazy athlete. So yep. I have to go back and take another look. I thought that this was more of a late day three guy, and you know, maybe he's got a little bit more explosiveness that I wasn't expecting.
Well, I mean, it was necessary for this type of performance because you were talking about Braden Fisk, who at right around 6'4", 292 pounds, he only had 31-inch arms and has a very underwhelming wingspan, obviously. But having this type of 10-yard split, I would even go further, Joe, and say, you know, the 40's great, 4.78, fantastic, right? But the 1.68 10-yard split, which was the fastest of any interior defensive lineman here, on top of the 33.5-inch vert and the 9.9 broad, that demonstrates short area explosiveness, which is how a guy like Braden Fisk is going to have to win. He's not going to win with tremendous power consistently, play at the point of attack, but clearly he has first step explosiveness. And when you do watch the film, that is there. Now, the question of what is the long-term upside? How good can he be? Can he be anything more than a exclusive three technique in the four-man front? Those things are still questions that are going to be out there, but I think that we can deduce from this performance that he's obviously a very impressive short area athlete.
Yeah, I've always thought with Fisk that the motor that he brings to the position, at the very least, you're going to get a really good rotational guy. I don't know if he's necessarily an every down player, one that I want out there on every single snap for me defensively, but the way that he has just been so strong throughout this process, as I mentioned earlier, I feel like amongst any of these defensive tackles, he's just been the most steady in taking these small steps forward. Yep. I would like to be clear here. I still don't see a guy that is going to go somewhere on day two. Maybe he ends up going late in the third round, but I think that's a little bit unrealistic given the measurables. But the testing is going to really help his case for any scouts that maybe overlooked some of his measurables.
Well, I mean, the draft process is all about stacking days at the end of the day, right? So he goes down to the Senior Bowl, has a good week overall in Mobile, has a really nice week, obviously, here in the Combine, doing impressive things from a physical standpoint, from the athletic testing standpoint. And also, we can't forget to mention that he was once a Western Michigan Bronco and taking that step up to the ACC, playing for Florida State. I think that he has just kind of been stacking great days in what is a long-term job interview. So seeing what he's been able to accomplish, it's been great stats for Braden Fisk, who I still agree is more than likely probably an early to mid day three football player. But regardless, he's going to be a key rotational piece for someone on the next level.
Now, a guy that you and I were both very, very high on in our defensive lineman rankings, which we dropped on Monday. Go check that out if you happen to miss that. Rook Arora-Roro, your favorite name to say, the Clemson defensive tackle who physically looks like he's built in a lab. This guy is enormous. He's really not carrying a lot of fat, which is scary to say for a 6'4", 294-pound defensive tackle, 34-inch arms, and ends up having one of the fastest 40 times, running a 4.89 at almost 300 pounds, 32-inch vertical, 9'8" broad. We know that this guy is freakish. I have talked about some concerns when I look at his tape where he kind of gets tied up with blocks a little bit too much, but he's a little new. He's a little green to the position in general and football in general. Yep. So I have optimism for his outlook in the NFL that you take him on day two and he's checked all these boxes that I know this is a really good athlete. He's going to look really good in the drills like he did, he can end up on an NFL roster, develop in a couple of years, end up being really good.
It's almost shocking that he's 294 pounds, to be honest. Like, you see him on this long athletic frame. He's incredibly kind of a sleek looking player where I can see him being well over 300 pounds and maybe add 10 to 15 pounds to this frame and not compromise any athleticism. And he's just a very intriguing football player, because I think you're right. He's not a guy that has put it all together during his Clemson career, but you saw the flashes. There are games where it's just he's unblockable. Now, there's times also that he needs to do a better job locating the football, getting off of blocks more effectively. But we're talking about – and I misspoke earlier when I said Braden Fisk had the quickest 10-yard split of the group. No, that belongs to Ruka Roro, who had a 1.67, which, again, short area explosiveness – getting off the football, and then obviously the 32-inch vert and the 9.8 broad kind of just add to the fact that this is a very explosive football.
Moving on to the defensive ends, and we ended up getting a little bit of a mix in where some of these guys ended up testing, because Dallas Turner ends up going with the linebackers. Chris Braswell ends up going with the linebackers. I'm going to bring up three defensive ends, though, that we have defined as defensive ends. I want to start with Jared Verse, who at 6'4", 254 pounds, 33.5-inch arms, 4.58 in the 40, which is just a great, great number that he is going to end up running. Again, we're not looking for proof of guys that are testing better and we're going to overreact and immediately jump in and say, like, oh, this guy, he's suddenly going to be a lot better because of the testing numbers being better than we expected. But for a guy like Verse to confirm that this is an explosive athlete, has a 35-inch vertical, which is phenomenal. A 10'7" broad is really, really good. 4.44 in the 20-yard shuttle, 7.31 in the three cone. I mean, we knew for a fact this guy was explosive. And I tweeted this out. You watch him during the drills. This is a refined player, an experienced player. He just moves so damn smoothly. Edge one. Reaffirmed edge one. I know that I didn't need to see that to affirm it, but I'm just going to keep reiterating that this is edge one.
Well, it was great to see. Another thing was that he weighed in with 33.5-inch arms and had nearly an 80-inch wingspan. It was actually two numbers that were higher than what his spring measurements was. He was actually sub 33 in the spring. So seeing his arms a little bit longer, wingspan a little bit longer, that was a great start, obviously, to the week for him. But we knew that he was going to test really well. If you go back to his high school days, he was a very good sprinter coming out of the state of Pennsylvania. So him running a 4.58, him having a 1.60 10-yard split, and having those jumps, I mean, 35 inches is very good for a guy that's 254 pounds, but 10.7 is wild. Like, that is a really, really good number. And even the three cone and short shuttle, those are not overly impressive numbers for an edge, but we know that Jared Verse is an explosive speed to power converter, and the parts of his game that we needed to see verified in this testing all were with that 10-yard split, with that vertical, and with that broad jump.
Lietu Latu, I think, is another one of those guys that actually I put him in the bucket of not just only reaffirming what we know about him, but I go a step further. I mean, he looked way smoother than I was expecting, because you look on film, sometimes not the bendiest of the group, but you know that he's just a really smooth athlete. And you watched him run, has some of the best running form, which sounds like such a specific thing to talk about. But
sure,
I think that there is, and it all lines up with everything with him. As an edge rusher, he's very technically refined. He's got great technique. He's got great hand usage. And you see the attention to detail that shows up in the individual drills, that shows up when he runs the 40, when he does all the jumps, all of that stuff. 6'5", 259 pounds. He ends up with a 4.64, 32-inch vert, 9'8" broad. Those jumps and whatnot, they're not exactly in the highest category, but I was mostly impressed by just watching him run and then do all the drills. He looks like just such an easy, easy athlete, which makes me feel more comfortable of him going in the first round. I'm still waiting to know if there's going to be any red flags that come from his medical testing. It sounds like we're going to be fine until something pops up.
Their team. So okay. It sounds like the neck injury that unfortunately cost him early on in his career at Washington before he transferred to UCLA. Sounds like the neck injury has been something that people are going to be able to push behind them and that he's going to be okay. I mean, from a testing perspective, I think the biggest thing for me was you knew that he was a guy that won more off of finesse and the ability to understand of how to attack a rush, right? You knew that that was his thing. But to show plus athleticism, this was a week I think that was about answering the medicals and then checking boxes athletically. And I think he checked every box, like 4.64s, rock solid. 162 is a good number for a 10-yard split. 32 inches in the vert, fine, not great, but solid, right? You're trying to hit those boxes, and I think that Liatu also did tremendous in the positional drills, showing ankle flexion. He's not going to be the most incredible player dynamically from a athleticism skill set perspective, but he brings everything to the table that you need to be a successful pass rusher.
Pardon my language, but there's always going to be a guy, I think, every year, especially with the defensive linemen, that are, I'm going to start this as a thing. It's my holy shit award. The guy that you just watch and you say out loud when you're watching it, holy shit. And I'm talking about Dallas Turner, who runs a 4.47, 40 and a half inch vertical, and then a 10-foot, 7-inch broad. This is an unbelievable, unbelievable athlete, the way that he can move and the way that he fits into this group. Not as far along in terms of his development, but he is the most gifted athlete of any of these defensive ends, any of these edge rushers. I think he is scheme diverse. He can play 4-3. He can play as a stand-up rusher in a 3-4. I am just in awe of who he is as an athlete. And I'll go as far as to say, I think that there is certainly a debate that could be had for Dallas Turner as the number one edge in the class, because you're going to come down to verse and say, do I want the guy that's more ready to play, or do I want the more freakish athlete that's going to turn out to be potentially the more productive pro? And Turner just, again, confirmed, we know this guy's a freak.
I knew he was long, but I mean, 34 and 3/8 inch arms, that is a impressive arm length for a player that's a stand-up rusher at only 6 foot three, actually sub 6 foot three and 247 pounds. I would say this, Joe, I mean, 1.54 10-yard split means he's explosive off the line. 4.47 in the 40, that means that he can maintain that explosiveness throughout a play. 40 and a half inch vert and 10.7 broad. Like, those are just silly numbers, man. Like, those are very comparable, I believe. I have to go back and look, but like Von Miller did some stuff like that back in the day, right? And you're going to be talking about this kid athletically, whether we're talking about relative athletic score or just kind of the normal comparison that we're going to do on a daily basis. But like, this kid is going to stack up to about the best outside pass rushers, the best stand-up rushers that we have ever seen come through the combine.
Two linebackers who we knew were going to be really good athletes coming into the week, but just again, checking those boxes. Logan Wilson, 6'4", 233 pounds. Sorry.
Logan Wilson went to Wyoming.
Yeah, yes. you said that earlier and confused me.
I did.
Peyton Wilson runs a 4.44. Yep. He ends up having a 34 and a half inch vertical, 9'11" broad. We knew he was going to be a crazy athlete. Sure. Has anyone said anything about his medicals? Because that's another guy with multiple shoulder and knee surgeries, I believe.
Yes, he's had multiple shoulder injuries, has had a couple of season-ending injuries in that regard. And he also had the ACL tear. I have not heard anything about his medicals yet, so let's hope for the best.
Yeah, hoping that there's no medical issues, but oh my God, the guy flies all over the field. Yes. And very similar to Dallas Turner, where you just go, oh my God, that guy ran that. And this isn't a small linebacker. Like, there's all these 5'11" linebackers that just showed up this year.
There's only two.
I don't know, man. That's too many. There have never been this many. I'm obviously speaking facetiously, but he's not one of those smaller guys. He is enormous. So for him to test that well is just, you know, it gets you juiced up. And he's worth taking in the first round if it wasn't for all the, you know, the medical stuff that kind of comes with him.
He would be my highest graded linebacker if the medicals were not involved. Mm. And there were a couple guys that ended up not testing today of the guys that were
Jeremiah Trotter.
I also didn't see Junior Colson's name on this list, Joe. So maybe Junior Colson didn't test either, which is very sad. It's very, very upsetting.
By the way, before you I'm not knocking.
Yes.
I should have Jeremiah Trotter. I just have to bring, we just have to talk about this. Look.
Okay.
I don't like to disparage, and I don't like to like speak negatively on prospects. I try to be as positive as possible. Uh-huh. I'm not saying this like this kid stinks. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, he doesn't
but his measurables weren't great, and he opts not to do any of the testing, like none of the athletic testing.
And there's no injury reported as to why he's not doing it. Yep, I know, man.
I just think that there has been a demo of fans and some analysts who have been saying that this is going to be like a really compact elite athlete. And I think that the fact that he chose not to test is kind of reaffirming that. I don't want to get ahead of myself because he could blow up at the pro day, but I don't know. It just feels a little weird.
It's telling because the guys that we've seen opt out in the past are either injury related or there's some hangover. They made national title runs or they were participating in the All-Star game. Literally, he was a true junior who did not go to the All-Star game. Clemson was not a playoff team this year. They did not make a deep run. He had plenty of time to prepare for this. So unless there's some undisclosed medical reason that he did not participate today, I would say that actions speak louder than words, and lack of actions also speak those for volumes.
Yeah. Again, not trying to disparage. Sure. It's more so being brought up of like a little bit of a reality check. And even for me, I've said this before, I was kind of hoping to see if he could prove me wrong a little bit on some of this athletic testing so I could feel a little bit better about him. But watching him on tape, I think it just reaffirms some of those concerns that I have of him being explosive enough to be a starting Mike linebacker in the NFL.
Right.
Wrapping us up, Edgerrin Cooper, who is, I believe, linebacker 2 or 3 for me right now. I got to double check where I have him. 6'2", 230 pounds, 34-inch arms. Runs a 4.52, which I think we were expecting. 34.5-inch vert, 9-foot, 10-inch broad.
Yep.
Another guy, very explosive. The eyes need to be worked on, but a younger player who is just, you know, going to pop on tape with how easily and, you know, quickly he moves.
34-inch arms for a guy that was 6'2 and an eighth is a wild number, man. I just kind of want to emphasize that real quick because this is a long, athletic, second-level defender. And 4.52, 1.54, 10-yard split. Like, none of those things should be overly surprising when you watch Edgerrin Cooper. And then the other athletic explosive testing, it's just requisite, right? 34.5 inches, 9'10 broad. They're both good, solid numbers for a linebacker, but you really see that explosiveness working off the line in his 40-yard dash. There's just some easy athleticism and explosiveness there.
At Joe DeLeon, at Rising Draft, at the First Team Pod, also at Believe Network. Folks, make sure you go and hit that follow button as well as subscribing to the show on audio or on video, wherever you're tuning in. We're going to be back for the rest of this week giving you these quick recaps, and then we're going to give our full breakdown probably on Tuesday once we're or Monday when we're both back in our normal recording studios. Stay right there, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.